Well, if you're referring to our assessments of the selected weapon programs, a report we put out on March 31st, basically we looked at all of the major weapon system programs, saw that they have increased over the past 2 years from a total of 96 to 98 programs, and that the total value of those programs is about $1.68 trillion, which is up from about $1.5 trillion 2 years ago. And in addition to that, cost has grown on those programs over the past 2 years about $135 billion.
Now, this report went back to 1997. Talk about the trend line that you've seen from when you first started to look at this.
Okay, you're referring to another report that we issued just about the same time as this one. This was looking at the Nunn-McCurdy statute.
Yes.
Which is a statute that was put in by Congress to track programs that were breaching, getting well over cost and schedule. So we went back and looked from 1997 up until now, and we found that there were 47 programs that have breached, and the total number of breaches was 74 times. Obviously, some of those programs have breached more than once. In fact, I think one of the satellite programs has breached as many as four times.
I talked to Senator Carper this week, and he mentioned that program. How did we get to where we are in this with so many of these programs going over?
Well, the way that we look at it is that most of the programs begin, they're very high risk. It all begins with, you know, very poor requirements definition. By that, I mean the capabilities that the department needs, the gaps in meeting the threats out there and everything, are such that I think they begin with very risky requirements for these weapon systems. And by risky, I mean they don't understand exactly what technologies, designs, and manufacturing processes are going to be needed when they begin the programs. So that means that the cost estimate they begin with is a fairly ill-informed cost estimate and tends to be optimistic in nature.
Mm-hmm.
So as such, they you know, cost growth begins fairly quickly.
Is that a disconnect between the end user and the acquisition shop at DOD, or is it all of the above, or where does that come from, do you think?
I think it comes from, like you said, a disconnect between the user, who is the one that you would want to set the requirements, and the people that are going to develop it. That would be the defense industry itself and the acquisition community in the Pentagon. There's a big disconnect there. They don't understand the requirements. We believe they need to do a lot more systems engineering, a lot more design work up front before they begin to make those major investments, so that they have a better informed cost estimate.
And that was not the only recommendation that you had, systems engineering and design work.
No, we've made a number of recommendations over the years, many of which have made their way into acquisition reform legislation and actually into the Pentagon's own acquisition policies themselves. And most of them have to do with, in addition to the earlier systems engineering analysis, more mature technologies, less time in development, more prototyping, more competition early in development, and stable designs before you move forward to actually produce aircraft. In other words, for aircraft, it would be something like fly before you buy.
Mm-hmm. Are there any of those that you think are more critical to ending some of these cost overruns quicker? I mean, I guess low-hanging fruit is what I'm getting at that the Pentagon has yet to implement.
Well, I think the low-hanging fruit is to get the requirements right.
Yeah.
But in order to do that, that means actually the user has to be able to accept what a lot of people call the 80% solution, if
mm-hmm.
you will. In other words, not a big bang revolutionary improvement, something that is achievable in a 4 or 5 year period. To do that, you have to have requirements that need technologies that are ready today
mm-hmm.
and don't have to be invented.
Yeah.
And then you can kind of put that on a more predictable timeline and you can estimate the cost better.
That's
so it begins with requirements.
Yeah, that's an issue that they have, as you mentioned, have been struggling with at DOD for a long time.
Yeah, it's really long.
Yeah. As you sat at this hearing, you were there for, I imagine, to watch the first panel, Mr. Kendall and Dr. Burke of DOD.
Yes, I was,
and then participated in the second panel along with John Young and Moshe Swartz. What'd you take away from that hearing? Did you get a sense that Senator Carper and his colleagues on the panel were satisfied with some of the answers that they heard or with the report that you gave? I mean, I know Senator Carper told me he didn't like the results of the report because it wasn't what he wanted to hear because it meant that the Pentagon was still struggling with this issue. But what was your takeaway from that hearing overall?
Well, I think the panel before us was Mr. Kendall and Mr. Burke,
yes.
Dr. Burke,
yes.
I think are both part of a team that really in the past couple of years at the Pentagon have, along with Ashton Carter, the acquisition czar over there, and the Secretary of Defense himself, have worked very hard to try to identify programs that perhaps are too difficult and maybe not needed, and they've actually terminated some of those. I think they're trying very hard to implement a lot of the reforms that the Congress has come up with. They're trying to move more towards the early systems engineering and getting the requirements right. I think they all understand that that's how you can save money and be more efficient. It's another thing. We talked a lot about the culture. The first panel did, and we did a little bit too, and as did the senators. Unless you can start changing the culture that is part of the defense industry itself and the Pentagon, a lot of these things tend to, you know, you have reforms and they work well for a while, but then they slip back.
Mike, we've got your report linked up at federalnewsradio.com. In fact, both of the ones that we've talked about here, the one that you testified about and the other one as well at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. Thanks for your insight on this issue this afternoon.
Okay, thank you.
Mike Sullivan, Director of Acquisition and Sourcing Management Issues at GAO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. You can find the report. You can find Jared Serbu's report on the hearing that Mr. Sullivan testified at. You can find my conversation with Senator Carper and lots more resources at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. 15 minutes after the hour on In-Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.